Welcome back to the Gabba, the Wacker. Doesn't really matter. Season 1, episode 47. We are 1 for 47 at drinks. I'm going to talk about a post that I put up on the iMovieU Facebook group. The post was from Gregory Lehman, my hero. Actually flew over to meet Greg when I was on a holiday, and he invited me into his house, this strange physio from Australia, who he'd never met before. I just sent a random email. And I don't know why, I had to pick something up at his house, went into his house, and we had a drink together, and we spoke about pain science. It was awesome. And I've loved Greg ever since that day. If you don't follow Greg Lehman, you need to. He's really big on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. I love videos, as you know. There's so much context that I'm not skillful enough to get my message across on Twitter, but Greg does an awesome job. His website is amazing, really beautiful, simple, clean resources. I've said before, Reconciling Pain and Biomechanics, his PDF publication, should be the first thing you get shown in any physiotherapy degree. I think it's amazing. But he put this post up. It was shared by the Kettlebell Physio. I then shared it to iMovieU. It says, new therapists, give yourself a goddamn break. You know a lot already. You can help people with what you know, and you don't need to spend $200K more on education. You should ignore bullshit about mastering your craft and trust yourself. It's normal to feel daunted with information overload. Everyone else does too, otherwise they suck. And trust the principles of recovery over techniques. And don't listen to the experts who overcomplicate to elevate themselves. And he gives a couple bits of advice. Read a few papers per week. Find the common themes across clinicians and approaches. Have a social life. And don't let some asshole make you feel like you know shit. And that was a series of 4 or 5 slides, which it looked like was an Instagram post. I like this. It really resonated with me. It looks like it resonated with the group. I thought I would elaborate why I like this and this really strange position we're coming to as physios and health professionals is that when we present in our one-day course about communication and how important trust, empathy, patient-therapist alliance, communication, messaging, how important all that stuff is, that 80%. And everyone seems to agree, and everyone's like, yeah, absolutely. But then when we get to filming, and the whole purpose of filming is so you can watch yourself back and improve, everyone shies away from it. And I don't think there's a high percentage of you still doing that after the course. And in fact, we put a poll up on Instagram stories, do you film your consult? And it was overwhelmingly no. And it doesn't have to be film your actual consult, but role play or film what you might say or practice what you might say. The other big tip was join a group called The Stage, which is a private Facebook group by a gentleman called Vin Zhang, who's a magician, but also a communication master. And he teaches you how to go over the five elements of, you know, really good, engaging public speaking, and basically tells you how to be an effective communicator. And I still think for $50, all that is $50, I think the biggest increase you could get on how good you are at your profession would come from this $50. But time and time again, I'm speaking to people that haven't done it, and we've posted in the group several times, and they're going out spending $500 on, you know, your anatomy trains or your functional upper limb or your McKenzie. So we're at this really interesting point where we seem to agree that communication softer skills are huge, and it's probably the biggest improvement you can get. But we're still not spending that $50 or $100. In comparison, we're spending $500,000-$600,000 on 1 and 2 day courses. And it's really got me intrigued from the sense of, if we're evidence-based professionals, then all the evidence only comes from one place. And that's what Greg's got here, is read a few papers a week. If you read a few papers a week, you're going to be pretty up to date. And then, you know, a lot of the courses are hugely clinical opinion and positional and postural and palpation. And there's no evidence for that. And I just don't think there ever will be, because no one wants to fund the evidence for that stuff in the first place. And it's so complicated to control all the variables for something like manual therapy. I just don't think we're ever going to get good evidence, nor do I think it's going to get the appropriate amount of funding or attention, because there's just so much bigger fish to fry. So it's really interesting that if all the information comes from one place and all we need to do is read a few papers a week, and if you want that like clinical experience, which might not be evidence-based, can we just get that from our peers, from our colleagues, from the people around us? Why are we going back to uni to do specialization, titling, mastering, doing these $1,000 courses? And I'm not saying we should get rid of that. I think they have their place. They definitely have their place. What I've learned from mentoring is the difference between really great people, excellent people, people that go out and achieve special things, and the rest of us, is that those people that achieve special things just do what they say they're going to do. And all that is accountability. So really, when you're paying for something, you're paying to be held accountable. And I think that's what courses and uni and any other form of structured learning really is. It's not the content. We can get the content from anywhere. Evidence-based means it all comes from the same papers. We can literally go and find any piece of information. I think Gary Vee says the school system's dead because it's about commoditizing information and learning and memory, and we just don't need to do that anymore. All the information is at our fingertips. So really what further education is about then is being held accountable. So for the people that it's going to be really good for are those people that are just struggling to learn week on week. For whatever reason, you're struggling to read two or three journals a week, watch some really some excellent people in our field who are just publishing volumes of great free content. And then the clinical experience you can get from them, from YouTube, from talking to your peers, from watching videos. So it's not that further education, titling, mastering, these courses are useless. What we're actually paying for is accountability. And I guess what's frustrating me most is there's something you can do for free that you'll get the biggest improvement at, which is improve your softer skills. You know, join a group like Vin Zhang. You don't even need to do that, but it's $50 and it's structured for those of you who might not know where to start. Or just start filming yourself and start getting a colleague listen to one of your consults and give you feedback. Was it boring? Did you use too many words? Did you not let the patient speak enough? Could you have interjected and asked a really interesting question? Remember that stat that patients forget about 80% of the consult, and we're so concerned about learning more detail and more technicality and more positional things and more postural things, and I wonder if I can do the shoulder this way or I can do the neck that way, when this giant volume of improvement is right before us, but we're not putting any time into it. So I love this post. It really resonated with me. I thought I'd just give more context on a podcast. I hope I could explain myself a bit more because it's had a huge level of engagement. I'd be interested to know your thoughts. Feel free to comment whether you're listening to this in podcasts app or on the page via the link, or just send me a PM. Thanks, guys. Bye.